Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
We about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program? 25 bags of crush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty want their wave, get the program. Shorty want their wave, what's the program? Going through the air, what's the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. Let me paint this picture for you. You know when you were a kid? And, you know, it was getting to, like, August, September. It was time to turn in that Christmas list to the parents for Santa. And you had everything you've ever wanted on this list. And you're like, you know what? I stumbled a little bit in the beginning of the year. I might have gotten in trouble in class. I might have got a little detention. You know, maybe the girl I liked ended up with my best friend or something crazy. But this year at Christmas, I'm going to get everything I want because I've been a good dude. I've been a good kid. And then Christmas Day rolls around. You run down the steps. You're excited. You're early, too. Your parents are like, take your butt back to bed. It is 5:30 in the morning. But you're excited. You start opening your presents. And there's that one thing on that list you really want. You really want it more than anything in the world. You get to the last present. You haven't got it yet. But the present's shaping up nice, dude. It looks and it feels like it's exactly what you wanted. And you open it up, and it's not. You got everything on your list except the one thing you really wanted. Well, that's what the ACC refs did to us Friday night, Virginia Tech, Miami, when the ACC stole Christmas. And to talk about it, Pete B from Too Deep is here with me. How you doing, man?
I'm good. What an intro. What an intro. And you know what, Dan? That you nailed it, man. That was a game that we were looking four from our team to show up like that and to play hard. And I've had a Christmas morning like that. And my mom still feels bad about it. She said, I asked for a racetrack. You know, those racetracks where you press the trigger and like the cars go around the metal track.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Those things were awesome in the 90s. So I asked for that. I'm pretty sure Santa's going to bring it and it doesn't come. And I'm looking behind the tree and it's all on video. And we've like, we joke about it. I'm like, you know, Mom, Santa didn't bring that racetrack. And like, she was like, she was devastated because my uncle like was buying it. My uncle told Santa he was going to get it. And so I got it later that day, but she still is like, I should have bought that damn racetrack. Santa should have brought it or somebody. So right. Yeah, that's what it was like. That's what it felt like on Friday night. And, you know, I was good and pissed off trying to get to bed after that.
Yeah, and we don't get an explanation. It was just, man, Santa must have just been busy. Whereas the ACC didn't really give us an explanation. And literally, like, pardon my language, the first thing out of my mouth when I woke up Saturday morning was, fuck. Because it was there, dude.
It was
like
there.
They gave it to us. We felt the joy, and then they ripped it away. And then every single broadcast on, I watched a lot of ball yesterday. Every broadcast when there was a review, dunked on the ACC officiating for that call because it was like, bro, like you called it. You already called it the touchdown. We saw butt cheeks on the turf, two hands on the ball. And then you're like, well, the person who was out of bounds, had a hand on it, knocked it away. So it was incomplete. Well, if an offensive player touches it, it's illegal and they're disqualified and it doesn't count. So if he was out of bounds and he touched the ball, he shouldn't even have technically been involved in the play, right? Still should have been a touchdown.
I mean, that's my thing. And so let's just unpack that first, and then we can kind of attack some of the other parts of the game, depending on how you want to do your own show here. I know. I'm too used to hosting a show.
Oh, no. I get it. Man, I feel you. No, we can go. We can roll. We can roll however.
I just, you know, you called it. I didn't look like a touchdown to me on first glance. You're watching the game. You see them battling. A Miami guy comes out with it. It's a Hail Mary anyway. So you're not optimistic. Miami guy runs out there with it. And I'm like, didn't get it. We blew it at the end there. What can you do? Then they say it's a touchdown. And when I'm already kind of like not totally paying attention because I already thought the game was over. So I like almost thought they went to video review and determined it was a touchdown. So then I started like freaking out, like we won, not even knowing there was still a review to do. So then like, and like Pry's shaking hands, he's like walking on the field, like we've won. And then they go to the replay and I'm like, they're going to screw us on this. But the announcers are on our side. You know, they're saying like, it looks like there's not enough evidence. And that's the biggest thing, right? We all hear it in the NFL and college, like evidence to overturn. Is there enough? And to me, the ruling on the field was a touchdown. The ball is not on the ground. Thereby, someone had to have recepted it. Like it's whether that person's out of bounds or not, I guess becomes the question. To me, Felton's ass is in bounds. The tie always goes to the receiver.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you can say like, oh, it's touching an out of bounds player. Like he has possession. His ass is in bounds. Like I don't, does his body go through that other body? Like, I don't really understand the explanation that we didn't get in real time. We got it later, which also pissed me off. It's a touchdown. Like it was ruled a touchdown on replay. Like I'm not saying it looks like a great touchdown, but it certainly doesn't look like it's a surefire incompletion. And so we got totally screwed, and they kept showing the Charlotte review room. And like, why is that not an NCAA review room or some third party? Like it's literally just our conference who has stakes. Like they have, you know, a college football playoff spot potential on the line and they get to make the call. Like it, I'm not saying there was any malfeasance, but it certainly doesn't look good from the optics.
No, I mean, how long did it felt like 5 minutes because I was $125 deep into a bar tab at that point. Like I felt
it took
like
forever.
So it was like, are you just looking for a reason to not call this touchdown? Because 5 minutes tells me there wasn't enough there for you to overturn it. Because if there was, you would have saw it within the first 3 to 4 shots, right? So
no doubt.
I don't, and I'm also of the opinion, because the way it feels, that if we would have been on defense and Miami would have been on offense, they would have called it a touchdown and it would have upheld. I just feel like we were on the other side of that call regardless.
100%, Dan. If Miami goes down in their own house and they're undefeated still and we're having a shitty season and they throw that Hail Mary to win, that 100% stays a touchdown. With there's no question in my mind, and that's messed up and I could be wrong, but like, if you lay that out, almost any football fan would be like, oh yeah, that would have held up for Miami. And so it's extremely disappointing. I didn't want it to come down to that. No one wants it to come down to that. And you can say, you know, our coaches screwed it up before that. We gave away points and we'll talk about it. But like, still in that moment, Kyren put up the pass. Felton went up and got it. He brought it down with all those hands and he caught it. Like it was, and it was ruled by the people standing there watching that it was a touchdown.
Yes.
And so then you're going to try and parse it out after the fact. Like I've, over the years, have you become more and more disenfranchised with review? Not, and I'm not even talking about our game. We see it in the NFL. We see it everywhere. We're like, the officials go to the replay and then you feel like they still get it wrong. You know, they still don't, you know, the first call was actually better. And like, there are certain instances where replay has been great and it gets it right. Clear mistakes by the refs. But like so often on these bang, bang plays, I would rather them just leave it the way it is and just call it the way it is on the field.
I feel like because of the way the rules are now, that they've overcorrected or tried to over, I'm going to make a word up, science, I don't know how you would say it, but like the science behind a catch, they've tried to make it too difficult and too many factors to it, and they mess it up all the time because they don't even adhere by their own.
Yeah,
rules.
The Dez Bryant thing, you know, do you remember the Megatron catch many years ago?
I remember.
Yeah, the Dez catch. Like, does it look like a catch or not? Like, I know that can be up for interpretation, but, like, sometimes that's as simple as it is. Like, did the man make a play and possess the ball enough in your head that it's a catch? Well, then it's a catch. And to me, you're watching that. The dude brings it down. His ass is on the ground. You can't see it. Like, and then the ref called it that way. Like, that's the thing that kills me, man.
And then the Maryland game, Maryland receiver caught the ball, butt cheek hit the ground. They called it a catch. Like, there's no consistency across. Like, it's all, and it's all dependent on conference. At least in the NFL, there's one governing body. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, there's one review people, but maybe they should.
How about that referee
consider bringing in people?
being the guy on that, the crazy Miami return from many years ago, like same referee who got suspended after that.
Yeah.
But who are they going to suspend? Because the replay room are going to suspend all of Charlotte after this one. Cause I don't know. It hit every single outlet, you know, like after the game, the next day, which just made it all the more painful. Cause I'm reading about it for like 48 straight hours and just getting more and more mad. Cause so many people are on our side. Like, people love to see the underdog win these kind of games. A lot of people who, if you're not a Miami fan, you probably kind of hate Miami. And so everyone wanted it to go our way. But I also think like it was pretty clear that it shouldn't have been overturned.
Right. Did we have other opportunities to win the game? Yes. But every football game has those exact same plays where each team leaves something on the field that could have changed the outcome. So in that one instance, they did enough to win the game on a crazy play. Should have been rewarded for it. And I really thought Coach Pryor, I'm surprised he swallowed it and didn't take the fine, because he looked like it took him several, like there was a 5 second pause when he was on that stage before he was like, you know, I hope they got it right because they screwed us bad.
Yeah. I also think that from the field to the locker room to the presser, like, how many good looks did he actually get at the replay? Like, and so you can't, I feel like in that position, he probably didn't. I mean, it's not like it's a clear touchdown. I'm not going to say, like, just unbiasedly, like, it looked like it was incomplete upon first viewing because I didn't see possession. And if they had called it incomplete, I'd be like, yeah, it's incomplete. Like, we didn't get it. Like, it looked close, but they called it incomplete. But they didn't do that.
The issue is with the not enough evidence to uphold the original calling of a touchdown, or to reverse the original calling of a touchdown. Insane, dude. It was like our players have been hearing us just bitch for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they finally had one. Number 7 on the road had them beat, and they took it from them. And
they did.
I feel bad. I feel so bad for those kids, dude. And I hope I hope I can say that I'm going to feel bad for Stanford, because I hope they bring it, dude. I hope they harness that and put it in a bottle and take it across the country with them, because, oh my God, I hope we just shellac the remaining schedule.
Do you think we can shellac anybody, though, Dan? Because I feel like with this game was an example of it. And tell me if you agree with this. I feel like we went toe-to-toe with one of the best rosters in the country. That is fact. And I didn't think that Miami played a bad game. I thought we played up. Like, that's that's the way I felt.
We played four quarters of football for the first time all year.
Right.
And Miami is, dude, Cam Ward is a top three quarterback in the country. Like, he's really good.
Oh my God. The beginning of the game, those passes, like, he was putting them. Every single pass was perfect before the interception.
Like, he literally had to make plays to beat us. Like, we didn't really give it to him. Like, our coverage was a little bad at some points. Like, I was a little frustrated with the way they got off on a lot of our DBs. But, I mean, they started Lovett. This was his first time playing high-profile P5 talent. So, or P4 talent, sorry. Rest in peace, Pac-12. But, like, I felt like he really had to make some – like, Restrepo had to come off his ass to catch that fourth down. Like, things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Let's go to the bad luck, because that's – the Restrepo catch on the fourth down where the guy literally falls down and they still convert a fourth down. The fumble snap on like the play later or two plays later that they magically recover and have no qualms with and actually gain yardage. And then the fact that we had Ward wrapped up twice and he gets the ball out, and not just out, but like goes 35 yards down to the 5 yard line. Like, it's those three plays all being on one drive were ridiculous.
Yeah, not to mention the BS holding call on the prelude touchdown run, which I think we ended up scoring on that drive anyway. That was
we did end up scoring. So like, and I actually was okay with that after we scored. It was a bullshit call, obviously a terrible call, but we scored and we took more time off the clock. And to me in this game, it was all about like less time. Like, we need this game. The more time we're out there, the more chances Cam Ward has to fire a touchdown pass. Because they were, when they scored, they generally scored pretty quick.
Yeah. And also, the most egregious thing of all time. When they created the horse collar tackle, it was like a textbook thing, and they grabbed him in between the center of the shoulder pads at the back of the neck and yanked him down, and they didn't throw the flag. And not to mention, Quan Felton went out of bounds. Clock should have stopped. It ran 30 more seconds. Coach Price should have. I guess I don't know if they got confused and thought because he went out of bounds, the clock was going to stop. Like it should have, especially since it was within the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
but like, it was just a bunch of wonky stuff. I feel like we really absolutely screwed on.
It was a Friday night, weeknight game. Like that, one of those games where just like weird stuff is happening all night long, and the field was slippery, and it contributed to some of that stuff. And I just can't believe the bad luck, because all those things that I said happened a second ago, and the holding call missed, and the horse collar missed. Like, you throw in the fact that they overturned that giant call at the end of the game. Like, it was just so much bad luck. And I know I say this with Sam all the time, like, you make your own luck to a point. Like, we can't make the luck of that series of plays happening like that. Like, what in the world is going on that a guy slips and falls and still catches? Like, we have nothing to do with that. Like, that is not us making our own luck. I mean, yeah, I guess someone could have been closer and knocked it out of his hands, but I don't know, man. It was tough. And I want my takeaway to be so badly that we battled. Like, this team who has been really, like, we've all said a lot of negative stuff about the coaching staff, about the performances through the first 4 weeks, but man, did they show up. I mean, we were 19.5-point underdogs at one point. It got back down to 17.5, which was still ludicrous for a Miami Virginia Tech game. And I said as much on our show, like, this is a rivalry. I know Miami might not always think so, but some of their fans do. And this series has had too many surprises for us not to show up down there. And they showed up, and I'm really proud of them for that.
Remember, I texted you and Sam, what did I say?
I can't remember how you worded it. What was it?
I'm going to pull it up. Also, while I'm pulling it up,
Billy put out the thing, or I don't know if it was Billy, but someone on the Sons of Saturday put out the thing, like, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we win? And people were just like making fun of that post. Like, yeah, what if, like, I was married to Margot Robbie? What if I had a, you know, a gigantic, you know what? Yeah. Like, there was all these responses like that. I'm like, it wasn't so far-fetched. It really wasn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are people on the internet that have no identity other than Tech being bad and then talking about it. But I said, I'm so delusional. I honestly feel all right about tomorrow. Real me. Give it up, dude. Optimistic me. I've got one more in me. Well, because even when we threw the Hail Mary, I was calm. And then they called it a touchdown. And I was like, oh, that's why I was calm. And then they just got ripped from us.
I put up the post on the day of, like, sitting at work, talking myself into a hokey win with the clown. But it was true. Like, I have been thinking that for a few days. And then I said a couple days before that, like, you know, Pat was kind of saying, like, I feel like we're going to go down there and play well. Someone else was saying it. And, like, it was a spot in the season where the Miami fans felt like there's not a chance in hell they could lose. Like, we had Cam Underwood on our show. He was so confident. Did not think for a minute that we were going to really compete. And that was wrong. That was the wrong thought, because so many Hokie fans, that we've seen this before, Miami flying high, us kind of not playing so well, and we will come out and fight. And they did. So that's awesome. I will say, on the other side of that coin, I was not calm like you were, because I always felt like we were going to blow it. Like, when we're up 10, I just felt like 10, 13, whatever it was. I think 10 was the biggest margin, because we had the field goal, which we can talk about. I never felt great, man.
No, yeah, I guess it got to a certain point where we had played well enough that I was okay with whatever happened. Not, like, to an extent, like, I still would have been bummed, but, like, they showed up for four quarters. They played their ass off. Bashel Tootin with one leg, essentially, because his other one, that brace was firm, dude. There is no wiggle in that leg. That brace is on there. And he, like, went nuts. And obviously, you know, we have certain deficiencies that I don't think Miami has necessarily, like, Did you see number 70 on their offensive line? He's like two of our linemen. Like he was massive. One of their tackles.
Oh,
like
they have such big offensive linemen.
Yeah. And then AP didn't matter. APR was in there. Like they were pressuring Cam Ward. They were like
the DL like legitimately. They were incredible. Yeah.
And I didn't think our linebacker play was bad. Like Brumfield was back there. I thought they did a good job of spying APR a little bit. Like he'd like rush up in the hole, but then he would back up behind the other D tackle. And then once Cam Ward went to move up, he would fill the hole and stop him. But like, it just felt like the plan, Tyler Bowen and Chris Marv both called, I thought, their best game to date.
This game loss was not on the coordinators, and we've hammered the coordinators, but like this loss, if you want to put the loss on somebody, it would be the special teams. And it was the head coach, like, because we had a chance to run the clock down at the end of the first half and they took a timeout to kick a field goal. And then that allowed Miami to get 3 points. And the special teams thing, I mean, how do we do the two? It didn't get called. But how do we do the two number thing again? Pry was so adamant that it would not happen again after Vanderbilt. He focused on it in the presser, like that will not happen again. It happened again.
Yeah. And then the 4th and 3. Like, I don't mind hanging your nuts. Like, it's a big game. You're on the road, you're double digit underdog. Like, you got a chance to kind of not necessarily put it away, but pretty much be there. I just would have, if you weren't going to run Bashel and Kyron back out there and get it on a QB power or give it to or Bashel or rely on one of your receivers, I think maybe you should have just kicked the 3 points instead of Harrison St. Germain pitch on the Parker Clemens side where he got immediately blown up. Like, I feel like it wasn't our best option. I'm going to be honest.
During the game, I was staunch in the support of the call because I thought to beat number 7 on the road, you have to be aggressive. And take the idea that we gave away 3 points earlier than that out of it, because that was already done. You're up by 10. If you kick a field goal, you're still not up by 3 scores. You're only up 13. And so for me, I liked the idea of staying aggressive. Because we saw Kentucky kick 4 field goals against Georgia and lose, although Kentucky just got a huge win. But a couple weeks back, we saw that. So you can't win big games with field goals is my thought process. Later on in the game, people are like, well, if we had those 3 points, then we could kick a field goal at the end and win instead of relying on. But you don't know that.
Miami might have played it differently.
Butterfly effect is so different. We go up 13. The whole way that it all plays out is different. At the time, I liked the aggression and the call was actually good. The call was actually a good call, and it just didn't just get blown up on Parker. They came right through the middle too. Like it was blown up twice. Like those guys were ready either for that or to block the kick. I don't know what it was, but their D line is really good and they blew it up. But I don't disagree with it in real time. After the fact, I've softened on my stance that yes, that's what we should have done. Like, I don't know. Kick the field goal, don't kick the field goal. But I do like the idea of being aggressive.
Who's our holder? I never pay attention.
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
If I was going to fake that, I might have put Schley there.
Sometimes
let him do something with it.
Sometimes it's the punter, right? Like, is it more? Like, I don't know.
Hey, Peter Moore's kind of fast, though. But, like, I don't know. I just...
Like, that's what we saw after we missed it, too. Is like, if you're going to try for it, just give it to Tootin, give it to Drones. Like, do a real offensive play.
But if it had worked, Prize is genius. It's one of those things.
Right. And Fuente, for as much crap as we give him, those kind of little trick plays, he nailed a lot of those.
Yeah, he did. He also played not to lose a lot.
He also did that. So it might have not been called. Who knows?
Yeah, he probably kicks the field goal. But we'll never know
if there's anything else that we should. Well, the run game. Let's go back to Tootin because he is just a freak. Like, he is so unbelievable. Like, the long touchdown run was awesome. He was getting, 7-8 yards a carry? Like, it's unbelievable how good he is.
His ability to turn, like, what you think would be, like, 2 to 3 yard losses into 2 to 3 yard to 4 yard gains or even more is incredible. Like, he's they don't really value running backs like that anymore in the NFL. We've seen that with the Saquon saga, but like, I feel like he's a second round guy. Like he's like second to third round running back. Like he's good, dude.
Like, okay, so I'll give you Genty. If you saw what he did this past weekend, the Boise State running back, like the guy's averaging 211 yards a game. And he, you want to talk about broken tackles, like Tootin is godlike. This guy is like existentially good. Like he,
yeah,
you watch the highlights from the Washington State game, like they will blow your mind. So Genty, number one running back in the draft, no doubt. But 1,000%. Tootin has a case to be that. Like he is, I know he's a little undersized, like they were remarking on the broadcast, but like he's still thick. Like there are plenty of guys his size, smaller, bigger, whatever, that that have gone in the draft and had very successful NFL careers. And to me, like he, maybe he's not Barry Sanders, but like he were like the style and the size is like Emmitt Smith. Like it's, he's not Emmitt Smith. No one's going to be Emmitt Smith, but no. Like the style and the size is, and he, you know, there's plenty of guys that, that type that have been successful. And like, I'd like to know the other running backs that are better than him in this draft class.
He runs like Barry. I'm not saying he's Barry Sanders, but like, just like the physicality and like just hard to take down and never doesn't have a good offensive line to do it with. Like there are similarities.
That, that is a similarity. Like, the O-line for Barry and the RO line is similar.
Like a Sean Payton or like a Sean McVay, like one of those guys, like our Kyle Shanahan would love a Bashaul Tootin type what, of running back, you know?
Yeah. What could Bashaul Tootin do behind like Ole Miss's O-line or Ohio State's O-line? Like it would be ridiculous. Just absolutely.
It would be nasty.
Because he's doing this. And I'll be complimentary of the O-line this game. They only allowed one sack against that vaunted Miami front. And we got 6.4 yards a carry. Now you can say, well, Tootin gets 6.4 yards a carry, not the O-line. But like that factors in Malachi Thomas getting negative 7 yards on 3 carries because of the intentional grounding play, which I still don't really quite understand.
Wonky.
That call. Like this game had so many weird things in it. But even that's a, on the flip side of Tootin is like, why isn't Malachi like that was what makes Tootin seem so much more impressive because Malachi has really struggled the last couple weeks. And PJ even PJ has shown burst and ability.
Yeah. Like I'm honestly surprised like we haven't seen Coney or like one of the, like he was supposed to be like the third guy, right?
I don't know what's happened to Coney because we heard so much about him. And PJ has, I mean, that's his spot, man. Like,
yeah,
he needs Malachi's carries. He really does.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Yeah, speaking of, like, I would not want to be a Heisman voter this year between dude from Boise State, Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe. He stamped his case last night. So, like, yeah, dude.
His coach, like, getting that coach for Milroe. DeBoer is just a master with quarterbacks, and it's ridiculous what he looked like. Now that game in general was just amazing, but Milroe was really good. And Cam Ward, I mean, Cam Ward's going to be in this conversation despite him throwing 2 interceptions and us harassing him all day. He had good 4 touchdowns. What's crazy is those 2 interceptions. He only had 2 interceptions coming into the game in the first 4 games. He only had a couple sacks coming into the game. And we get 3 sacks. Like, we did so much more against him than anybody else. And that's what I wanted to see. And to his credit, he played a full game as well. And so I think he's going to be in that race as, down the stretch for sure.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. It's just, man, I don't know. Aiden Green redeemed himself from that tipped interception. He ended up having a good game.
Yeah, he did. He, like, I was so pissed, not at him, just at the situation, but like he got volleyed like right to Miami, and it's like, dude, just drop it. If you just want to drop it, please drop it. And then he played a good game after that, scored a touchdown.
That touchdown was insane off unbalanced foot. I thought Kyron had a lot more time in this game, and he made a lot better decisions.
We have to talk about Kyron's block too.
Yo, that block was incredible.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Yeah, look at him.
And that sprung Lane for the touchdown. Like that was freaking amazing.
Our receivers gotta be better though. For all the hype they've gotten, I think.
Yeah.
In this game, you know, I thought in the Rutgers game, you know, we missed Felton on two deep balls. I feel like one of those, I don't know if he was running as fast as he could. I thought he could have got one of the two. It sucks for Jennings coming back. He's still banged up. He didn't even play, did he?
No.
Against Miami. No. I think he would have made a difference if healthy. But I just, and our tight ends don't block that well.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, it's funny because we have Benji, who has really emerged as an amazing target for us. Caught the first touchdown of the game, wide open.
Yeah, but I love him. But
we miss Gallo. We do miss Gallo and the blocking, you know. And I don't know what we haven't heard much. It's just he's out. I don't know why he's still hurt. He had a whole offseason to get healthy, and he's just like not healthy. So. Don't know what's going on there, but I agree with you. We struggle with the blocking, whether it's O-line or tight ends. And we're just not good enough. We played a great game, but we're not good enough to have this many mistakes and this many bad luck things go our way or go or not go our way to win these types of games. And it's been this way, but in other games, we've shot ourselves in the foot way more than we did this time. Like we played a cleaner game. But I still think the coaches just, or I should say the head whistle, like there were a few things that if he had called it differently, we might still have come away with this win.
Yeah, I'm wondering if at some point there's going to be like an advisor come in on like some game management. I don't know. I don't want to say that we'd do that. It's year three.
We've done it. I mean, we did it with Kill, and we were struggling. It was a very similar bad start with an optimistic season in 2019, and 4 weeks in, maybe 3 weeks in, I think it was, we brought in Kill because we looked so bad against Furman. And I do think someone like that could really help, because you look at the record now, Dan, 0-3 in one score games this year for Pry. We all heard the 1-10 in one score games overall since he got to Tech, with the one win being Liberty with Hugh Freeze with one foot out the door. So,
yeah,
like he's borderline winless in one score games. And I worry because that type of stuff, sometimes that pattern is so hard to break and you don't break it.
Yeah, I feel like that number is a little skewed sometimes, though, because he did inherit like the worst roster Virginia Tech's probably ever had in 2022. But it should be better now than... But it's not.
It's skewed, but like 0-3 this year, and I think like 0-4 last year. So, and those rosters were better the last 2 years. And
also,
some of that stuff is we were down big in games and then came back. Like, so yeah, I get that.
Vanderbilt and Rutgers, we were down and we came back.
But we tied it. It's not like we like only got it to like 4 points. Like, we tied those games. So, those still the lead, count. Yeah. They count.
Yeah. No, they do. I love him, dude. I really do. But like,
I love him too. I want it. We all want it to work out. Like, I don't think the philosophy is right. Like, everything is right except for little things that happen on game day. And I would love to be like, get new coordinators in here and it will change. But like I said earlier, like, this really wasn't a coordinator issue game.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. I don't think he's too proud to admit he might need a little something, but.
You saw the pressers last week before Miami. He seemed different. Like, he seemed like...
Very melancholy.
Very solemn, very melancholy, very like, I may have to do some things I don't want to do here not too long. And it's that business approach got us our best performance of the season. Even Kyron, who... He needs to be more accurate. Like, there was some stuff in this game. Like, he's completing under 60% of his passes. Like, he needs to be more accurate, but he still had his best QBR of the season in this game. And he had 52 yards rushing, 189 passing, two touchdowns. And he made some big, big plays. And so if he can just improve the accuracy, which I don't know. Like, is he ever going to be a guy that completes 65% of his passes? Like, maybe, maybe not. But it needs to get a little bit better, because if he has a few more completions, maybe this changes too.
Yeah, I think I don't know what kind of changes will be made in December, but I think we're going to get some tweaks. regardless of how it plays out.
We have to get a tweak here or there. And I don't love calling for coaches' jobs, but like we have seen too many mistakes on special teams. Too many. It's every week, Dan.
Yeah. Well, it's every week. I know with like it'll be interesting to see. The portal's really going to matter in the winter. The winter portal is going to be detrimental to what 2025 looks like. Not looking too far ahead, but
well, let's look a little bit far ahead at just going to Stanford, and BC coming in, and there's a bye in there. It's a mini bye because we play on Thursday, but we got this trip out west after a devastating loss in Miami, rallying the troops and getting a win. People think Stanford stinks. We all saw them beat Syracuse in the dome.
Yeah,
like they weren't completely outplayed by Clemson. Like they play a lot of good football.
Number 13 for them, the Canadian wide receiver. I can't remember his name.
I thought it was Ayo Manor, but I think it's just like Ayo Manor. Like, I think it's just like it looks, but Ayo Manor, like he's ridiculous. He's so
more
ridiculous.
Like Ayo, make sure you guard that dude. Like, because he's really, I mean, I do think I loved, for as shitty as the situation was, the player's response afterwards on Pop. Socials. And yeah, Pop, all of them, Quan Felton, everybody. Like, I feel like they really, you know, banded together. And I feel like loss, maybe, you know, it was what, remember last year we went down to Florida State and we got beat, but we showed that we could, we showed flashes of being able to hang. And then it was just a different story. I'm wondering if it's going to be something similar to that, but I don't know. It's up to them.
Yeah. I'll say this, man, for as much like sadness and negativity, some of what we've said has put out there, like we've said a lot of nice things too. And one thing that we've harped on Too Deep is that this team feels close. Like they feel close to putting it together and not only winning games, but like winning them in a confident way, like we were winning them last year by several scores. Like this, we beat bad teams by a lot of points at the end of last season. And for whatever reason, things are disjointed. And I don't think we've played a completely dirt McGirt team this year. Like I think every team has been decent, save for ODU, and we put it on them at the end. So like I just feel like this team, with this little bit of confidence, like, hey, you played a top 10 team. That's a really good team. They didn't play down to you. You played up to them, and you damn near should have won the football game. And so, yeah, could he have done some things differently down the stretch to not fall apart? We could have. We really could have. We gave up 500 yards, but that offense is elite. And so be proud of yourselves. And if you can just put these pieces together, there's not a single team we can't beat, even Clemson.
Right.
Like Miami might be better than Clemson, and we should have beat them. And we're going to be at home in Lane Stadium. So there is something to sell from this. It's just we were down after Rutgers, and that was so depressing what just happened, the way it ended. But it shouldn't take away from the performance.
No, 1,000%. It was the first complete game we had seen this year going into ACC play. There's plenty of chances to get it back. And, you know, if you really want to, you know, meet Miami again in Charlotte, but that's all dependent on the people in Merriman, really.
I mean,
because
it's possible. It's crazier things have happened. It's unlikely, but it's possible.
Miami's got a tough one this week. They're going to Cal. Cal's got game day.
Dude, me and Sam said, no matter what happens, if Miami beats us, they will lose to Cal. We said that on our last show. And it's game day. Like, game day at Cal, like, I know that's not a real football factory. I'm not saying the least of it, but they're gonna be pumped.
Oh, they're gonna show up for that. The team is good.
The Calgarhythm.
Dude, their Twitters has been insane.
I had
it's been insane.
They're calling it the Commies versus Convicts.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting because the Miami takes themselves very seriously online. And I think that they're going to get bothered by, like, or not like the players, but the fans are going to get ruffled up by these Cal accounts. It's going to be hysterical.
I agree.
It's going to be hysterical.
Yeah,
are you going out? How many people do you know going out to
I know a couple.
Palo Alto?
I know a couple. And I got a buddy that lives out there. So I thought about it long and hard, but I'm going through a home renovation right now. It wasn't in the cards for me to go to Miami or Stanford. Great trip. I went about a year and a half ago with my wife. We did wine country, and I've been to a game at Palo Alto many years ago. It's a beautiful part of the country. I mean, it really is fun. So for all the Hokies going out there, make sure you hit a few wineries. Make sure you don't drink and drive, but get out there, get on the road, go into Napa Valley or Sonoma and have a blast, because those towns are real fun.
When I had Noah on here, he was talking about all the great food at the tailgate because he had to drive to his mom's or his parents' place in Smith Mountain Lake. And the way he worded it, it made him sound like he told my listeners to make sure you eat a lot if you're going to drink. So when you drive later, you'll be okay. And I was like, did you tell my listeners to drink and drive? And he was like, no. But I saw tickets are like, you can get lower level for like $38 for
Stanford. When I went to the game, I was visiting a grad school buddy, and it's just a different world, man. They do not care. Some of the kids care, obviously, maybe some of the bros that really love football, they care, whatever. But the tailgate scene is weird. Like, people are kind of doing a brunch thing. They're like, I'm not even kidding. Like, they're doing the wine and cheese thing. Like, that's not a joke. And then a lot of them don't care if they go into the game. Like, outside the stadium, there's like kind of like a student tailgate thing happening, kind of like what we did at Vanderbilt, like out in a parking lot, just drinking with a crew. They had that. They had a DJ, whatever. This was years ago, but still, it's probably about the same. And then like no one wanted to go in. They were just there to like, you know, throw down for a bit early in the day, get some drinks in them, and then maybe go take a nap. You know, like it was a funny environment. Now, I'm not saying that nobody went into the game. They draw a little bit when they had David Shaw. I don't know what it's like now.
Jim Harbaugh at 1.2.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think like that school has had John Elway went there. Like they've had some like,
yeah,
Andrew
There's
Luck, like,
decent history.
Two of the greatest quarterbacks ever play football went to that college. So.
At one point I thought David Shaw was like the third best coach in the country. It was like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and David Shaw. Like, that was like my hierarchy. And I just thought he had done such an amazing job. And I know that Harbaugh left him in a good spot, but Shaw was there for so long and had Christian McCaffrey, like so many good players. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, dude. It was oddly enough, as bad as the end of that game was and the way all of us felt, there's some real optimism coming out of that. And I'm starting to feel it all depends on how they play. If they come out against Stanford and immediately punch him in the mouth, I'm going to feel really good about it.
There are two ways that you can react to what just happened to you in Miami. And it's like, fuck this. We're never going to win anything because we just, no matter what we do, everyone's against us. Or you say, you know, like, F that game. That was stupid. We're good. Let's show everyone how good we really are for the rest of the season. I hope that's the way it shakes out, because right now, like, I know Hokie Nation's looking at it and the morale is low.
Yeah, you could either fold like Florida State did when they didn't make the playoff. Look at them now.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely invested in the wrong quarterback in the transfer portal.
Dude,
but
it's ugly,
still,
dude.
Like, still. Yeah. I mean, you could fold or you could nut up, pull yourself up by the bootstraps like Southwest Virginia does and handle that, you know? Or like, I just, man. Also, like, prayers out to the New River Valley, and I hate what happened to y'all. That's crazy. Like, I hope
River Course is a river.
Yeah.
It's covered.
But like, seriously, like, we went down to Miami and played that game while we got wrecked back at Blacksburg. It kind of makes ECU look real bad when they didn't come up. You know what I'm saying? They didn't come up to Blacksburg and play that game when the hurricane a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But, really, like, New River Valley, like, I've seen all the pictures and the river course and everything. I hope, you know, whatever. I've been trying to think of some things to do to help. I don't know what, like, I can't physically go down there because of work. But, like, I would like to think of something that I want to help out, but
I'm hoping that everything's kind of receding and at least they can start assessing the damage now, but I still think it was pretty bad this morning.
Yeah. It's crazy. Did you get weather up in Jersey? Cause I know it was,
it's been horrible here for at least 3 days. It rained all day yesterday. It's going to rain the next like 3 days. Not like a ton of flooding. Some of the, definitely some areas that had more, but it was really like the mountains, like Asheville is just wrecked.
Yeah. We're all friends with people down there and we were trying to get a hold of them. We couldn't, but luckily they're good. But
okay, good.
They said all the roads in and out are closed off. The only way to get into Asheville is by air. It's that bad.
Unreal, man. That's terrible. That's a place I've never had a chance to visit. My wife has been there a couple times.
I would love to go.
It's beer city. Like it's all breweries. They call themselves Beer City. They do the alternate jerseys. They're minor league team, and they have like the beer logo on the hat and stuff. It stinks, man. I feel so bad for everyone in that region, and extends up into Blacksburg. It's been real bad, and down to Tallahassee too. Right, like that whole area got pretty wrecked.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
So what are you thinking in terms of the rest? Like, I don't even know how to project the rest of the season, man. Like, if you're thinking like bowl game, do you think we could still get to 8? Do you think like, is that out the window? Are you just trying to like not embarrass ourselves? Like, where's your head at?
If we won out, we would be at 9, right? So I'm thinking Clemson, we're probably not going to beat. They look
I still
good.
Feel like we're going to beat them. I still feel like we're
gonna beat. I really hope we do. I really hope we do. I think
but that's just a preseason thought that I'm just not letting go of.
If we go to Syracuse and exercise the demons, we're winning 8.
Yeah, that's a big game. That Syracuse game. And I don't think they got a lot of love from beating Georgia Tech. And I don't think that Syracuse is anything great. Like when you lose to Stanford at home, you're not that good. And they made a lot of mistakes in that game. And
yeah,
McCord, I think he's good. I think he's good. I just don't think the roster is going to hold up to when that game takes place. Like their depth issues are going to show.
Yeah, plus everything that Stanford did well in that game, we do really well, and Syracuse did not defend it well, so
yeah.
I feel good about it. Georgia Tech and Boston College are both at home.
And beatable. Like Boston College worries me because of their offense, and I think like that offense is the – if you're trying to tailor make an offense to be good against Virginia Tech, like that might be it.
If we jump them early, Castellanos cannot throw to beat us.
And we beat the crap out of them last year with Castellanos.
Yeah,
and that game was awesome. So it's a different coaching staff for BC and Bill O'Brien. Job well, they almost lost because Castellanos didn't play this past weekend. They were this close to losing to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, the Hilltoppers, baby, Bowling Green, Kentucky.
They pulled it out because we saw who lost to Louisiana this past. Oh, Wake. Wake lost to the Raging Cajuns. It wasn't a great weekend for ACC football. Like, you know what was good? A good result for ACC football, Dan? Miami winning. Only good because Louisville lost to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame looked pretty good in that one. And Wake is so terrible, but BC did pull it out.
Yeah, I still feel optimistic about the rest of the season. If we play more games where we play 4 quarters of football, we're going to win. We're going to win games.
Yeah. No, we will. We can beat every team on the schedule. We could have beat every team on the schedule when the season started, and we've lost 3. So it's hard to imagine there not being 3 more losses. To be perfectly honest, that it's hard to imagine. Could it be 2 to get us to 7-5? I think that's what I'm almost hoping that we can get to 7. And it's crappy, but like we just make so many mistakes, and is that going to get cleaned up? Like it's got cleaned up a little bit before Miami. If it gets all the way cleaned up or nearly, we can win 4 out of 5. 4 out of how many games are left? 4 out of 7. but if it doesn't, I think it's 3 and I don't know, man. I want to go to a bowl. I think we're going to a bowl. I don't think it's that bad that we're not going to a bowl. Let me get that clear. I don't think we're going 5-7. But to get to 7 wins, I think at this case, in my head, is best case scenario.
Yeah. It just sucks because everyone we brought back, I thought for sure we were going to strong 8-9 wins. But
I know. I know. I mean, I predicted 9. It's still possible, very, very unlikely. And we are good enough. We are a good enough team to have won 9 games. Like, I think that we can all feel a little bit validated in that, is that the roster and the talent, when they don't just shoot themselves in the foot for an entire half of football, is a 9-win team, but they're not playing like it. Not for a full game enough.
Nah, definitely not. And say we get to a bowl and then we'll be able to sell playing time again in the portal, because we're going to be losing some people. But
be losing some people. But let's not even go there. It's too far away.
It is. Yeah. But when you handle business with Stanford first and then.
Yeah. Go out there, go 3-3 into the bye. Like, just get me to 500 into the bye, and you can renew a little bit of, and people will start to get juiced up for that Thursday nighter. Like, if you go out there and you lose, and you're 2-4, Thursday night's not going to feel quite the same.
Nope.
So go out there and get a win.
Not in the way they wanted to.
Yeah, for real. Probably make the tickets a little cheaper right now. After I haven't looked at SeatGeek or StubHub, because I'm still hunting some tickets. I'm trying to maybe get to Georgia Tech. I want to go to Clemson. Pretty sure I'm going to that one. And I might go to UVA. Tickets have been expensive since the summer. Like, the tickets have been more expensive than I can remember in a long time.
Yeah.
Sure, they've come down a little.
You bringing the wife?
I want to. So her girls are doing a JMU thing, which JMU's been kicking ass, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they're scoring so many points. It's so unfair. But yes, her girlfriends are talking about doing something the same weekend as Clemson at JMU. So we might end up like splitting up or something and just like doing our own thing on those weekends. But I'd like to get her down for a game, and she always supports. She supports this sick habit I have of loving this team way too much. Shit, like, we're watching the game. We went to the bar for the first half, have a nice evening. I've got township responsibilities the next day, because we're having harvest fest. I got to be up at like 6 o'clock the next morning to do our local harvest fest and like run around for that. We go out, we come home at halftime. We're watching the game upstairs in the bed. So, cause we're like, I was like, I got to go to bed as soon as this thing ends. But we it ends in the most frustrating way possible. I'm up, I'm down, I'm jumping all over the room. And we lose. And I'm like, I'm so angry after the game that I'm like vibrating. Like, I can't go to bed. Like, there's no chance. I didn't get to bed till like 1 a.m. And I got up at 5:45. It was horrible. All of it was horrible. But she puts up with all that, which I appreciate. So, wife appreciation statement here.
Yeah. I got a text. I made a joke last night. I was like, I'm calling the federal government. And I'm reporting that Miami was at the freak-offs. Like, and this girl goes, it's not that bad. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, it's not like you're on the team. And I was like, this is why we never dated.
Right.
I was like, never say that to me. Like, of course, we're not on the team, but we still hate it.
That is the most cutting thing I think a female can say after like a tough football loss. Is like, it's not like you're on the team. And I've had a girlfriend back in the day say that exact thing. Like, you're not, it's not like you're on the team. Like what? I'm like, well, and I'm not trying, this is nothing to do with you, Dan. I was like, well, I did go to the university and it's something I love. And so like, it hurts. Like, I'm sorry. And even if you didn't go to the university, no gatekeeping here. Like, you love it. And it hurts. Yeah. Don't lessen it by saying you're not on the team. That's messed up.
Yeah, like, I put, you know, I've been a fan since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watch every weekend. I do this. So I'm invested like hours. Yeah. Every week, hours involved, like, above and beyond. I go to all the games at home. Like, I'd make road trips. Like, it matters. Like, fandom matters.
And you know why? There's a lot of people will say, well, it's just meaningless. It's just sports. It doesn't mean anything. And I always push
feel that way.
I push back on that. And Billy and Pat got this stuff too, because after the Rutgers game, they were despondent in their pod. And people are like, you guys are drama queens. Like, this ain't, you know, listen, this is something that we care about. There are things that you care about that are not as public. And maybe you feel really awful about something that's just as stupid, but we don't make fun of you for it. So leave it alone. Second of all, sports are community. That's what they are. And when the team is good and people are feeling good, they're down in Blacksburg, they're fun, you're making connections, you're living your life, and you're enjoying yourself. And life is about joy and happiness. And that's what sports are. Even when they're not good, they're community, which leads to joy and happiness. And so anyone who wants to lessen sports and say it doesn't matter, you are wrong.
Yeah, like, I mean, we go to games, we see the same people tailgating, like, we see people online. We've all become real-life friends. Like, we hang out, like, meet up. It's like,
it's for sure, dude. I mean, I've met so many people the last couple of years about from tech, from Twitter, from podcasting, from Blacksburg. It's great.
Yeah, passions and hobbies are important things in life because otherwise we would just work and go home.
Like, it's fun. So what do guys choose as their passions, right? It's you're either the grill guy, you're the sports guy, you're the craft beer guy, you're the I decorate my home or work on my lawn way too much guy. I know a lot of those guys in my neighborhood where like they've already, the Halloween decorations are to the nines. Like I'm not that guy. I'm sports guy. I'm beer guy. A little bit of grill, but like I don't do the smoker. Like there's some people are like into that, but we all choose our identities because otherwise life is boring.
Yeah. I'm definitely the sports guy. I like to go out. I'm the go out guy, the social guy, like, pop culture, big pop culture. No one really get into like politics and stuff like that. It's never interested me. No, like obviously they're a necessary part of being an adult.
You don't
like,
want to be that. I don't think maybe in DC there are a lot of those people.
They're always mad though.
Politics is a passion. Yeah. And I lived in DC for a while. So I understand that that's not my scene. It's not my thing.
Right. No, I would much rather talk about Virginia Tech, Stanford, or you know, the G5 conferences or whatever, like anything other than
that. Do you think, well, speaking of that, looking at the playoff picture now after Georgia, Alabama, do you think that Georgia is like still a shoe-in for the playoff, or do you worry about their prospects going forward that they could, if they lose another game? Are they getting in at 10-2? Would they have to lose 3 to be out?
Well, they showed a stat that was like, whoever lost that game, their odds, I mean, they were still pretty favorable to make.
Yeah.
I think they were at like 67% after a
loss. The name for Georgia, like, even if they have, I think with 3 losses, they're probably still getting in. But they should have lost the Kentucky game. Like, they're not as good right now as they've been the last few years.
What I want to know is if Army or Navy runs the table and wins the American, are they in the playoff?
Well, what's funny about that, Dan, is that Army and Navy could face each other in the American championship game.
Yes.
And then play again the next weekend in Army-Navy.
Yep.
But here, I'll put a note out there on Army-Navy. They have played the second to least and third to least most difficult schedule in the country. Like we're talking like the service academies are playing great. Those two teams, Army and Navy, have played two of the weakest schedules in college football. The only one that's weaker is Liberty's schedule.
Well, they've been winning me some money. So go Army, go Navy.
The quarterback from both of the, like the Army quarterback and the Navy quarterback, Horvath, are unbelievable. Like they have that. Yeah. I cannot wait whether they meet in the championship game or not. They're going to play, and that is going to be awesome this year.
Yeah, I think it might be a FedEx Field. I'm not sure, though.
I think it is. I think it is, because I talked to the boys about that. Like, should we go? Like, it's at FedEx, which is horrible, but, like, it's at least local.
I would be down.
It's going to be fun.
If the weather's not terrible.
Yeah. Right. Security's tough because
president goes.
President
and all that.
Usually comes, and it's a long day because there's a lot of pageantry. There's a lot of like pregame stuff, but it would be fun. And I don't know what the tailgate scene is for something like that, especially at FedEx. Like when they've had it in Philly, I know it's not an Eagles game, but it's a pretty damn good time.
Yeah, I figure FedEx, they have lots of parking lots.
They do.
I've tailgated there for many times. Last time was Virginia Tech, West Virginia. I don't go back to FedEx ever really, but
had a good night that night.
Yeah, we did.
Last time we beat a power conference team.
I was there. Oh, man. Gosh. Yeah, man. Well, PB, you got any other thoughts to add? Any numbers? Anything?
Well, I will say this. So I talked about Army and Navy strength of schedule. Our strength of schedule in the FPI is number 22 in the country right now. So if you look at Sagarin, it's like 47. It's not like it's been a decently tough first five games. It really has. I know Miami's bringing up that average, but we almost beat Miami. Like we've played 50-50 ball for five games, and we've come out on the losing side three times out of five, and that blows. But maybe we regress to the mean and we come out on top more often throughout the rest of the season, and we can still make it fun. Because last year, Dan, going into last year, didn't you think, like, we won three games the year before, so whatever happens this year, as long as it's a little bit better than that, we're going to be happy. And once we went on that run, it was so much fun because the expectations weren't burdened upon us. Now we've kind of like scratched out all those like expectations. Like, they're gone now. And so maybe we can just have some fun for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I hope we have some fun.
Yeah, me too, dude. And I'm hoping to see you down in Blacksburg when I go to Clemson. I think that would be the first game. Georgia Tech's before that, though, right? Isn't Georgia Tech end of
October? 26th.
Yeah. So maybe I'll be there for that because I got some friends going down. But anyway, that's all I got, dude.
Hell yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on here and doing this. It's not always easy to talk about these things.
I got to rehash this a couple more times this week, but that's okay.
Yeah, you because do.
It does. Always talking about it, it makes it better. It really does make it better.
Yeah, when you relive the good parts of it.
For sure. For sure.
Team fault, man. Let's just hope they continue to fight.
Without a doubt.
And as always, dude, go Hokies, man.
Go Hokies.